Hi, I'm Carol S. I'm a grateful compulsive eater and food addict, and I'm very grateful to be here today. For those who are new to OA, I will re refer to the three-letter word God frequently throughout my talk, but that does not necessarily mean that this God has anything to do with the God of any organized religion. I use God as a convenience name because saying my invisible best friend who loves me more than my husband is a little too long. But it's convenience. It's for convenience. My higher power is my own conception. This is not a cult or religious group. Everybody is allowed to have their own conception of their higher power. And having a higher power and working extremely closely with that higher power is how we recover from our illness. And I forgot to start the timer, so I'll cut it down to 18 minutes and I'll start it. Okay. Hi again. I'm 64 years old. I was born in 1961, so I got to see a lot of changes in our country. I saw there's a lot of turmoil and interesting stuff going on that was good in the 60s. There was a lot of partying and people having fun in the 70s. They really thought they were having fun. There were people in the 80s who were turning into business people. And I think that's as far as I want to go with that comment, pretty much. I'm sorry, I'm really nervous. Throughout my life, there was a constant theme there, which was overeating. I started out overeating as a normal overeater, but I believe that I was born an overeater. But it started out normally. My parents, my family, and I observed the usual times for conventional overeating, and I didn't feel particularly different from the rest of my family. But there were these times that my sister, my older sister, and my mom and my dad would observe that were called dieting. And that is how I learned to restrict, was from watching them restrict. So there's two sides to my disease, and the restriction one is something I've gotten in touch with very recently. And that's which is really interesting. So I would alternate between eating a lot of food. Usually, as I got older, my eating was going out of control while I was still a child, but it didn't really take off until I hit 12 or 13. But there was the restriction side going on too. I would see my mom and my sister in particular. My dad didn't talk much about his dieting until he got older. I would see them eating very small portions. And I thought I could lose weight that way too, but that didn't work out for me so well. I would restrict, and then particularly in high school, and then like 2 hours later, I'd be putting some food in my mouth because I couldn't take it any longer. And that would lead, so I would try to restrict in the morning and at lunchtime, and by dinner time I was starved, and I would eat a lot from after school into the evening, after school and dinner, and maybe some snacks after dinner. And That's kind of how my overeating went on. When I started going to junior high, that was when I became aware of that I could control what I was eating. I didn't have to eat what was, they let us, the school I went to let us pick out what we wanted to eat from areas in the cafeteria. I didn't have to have a tray with food put on it that was handed to me. So I would tend to do things like get a salad, get a small salad, and get a dessert, and I would consider that my lunch. And I tried controlling my food that way off and on for most of my adult life. I would, I would ask my husband at, we'd go out to a restaurant, and I would ask, I would say, well, I would like to have only a salad and only a dessert for dinner. And my husband would say, nope, I'm not going to pay for that. He had my best interests at heart. And but it was very frustrating because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. He would say, no, you're he so he would encourage me to eat a regular meal. And I'm going to go back in time again. In my so I started dieting seriously in my early teens. By the time I was 20, there was this multi-level marketing product that was a liquid fasting diet. And my mom and my sister and my brother-in-law went on it. And I went on it too. I lost a fair amount of weight and was feeling pretty good about myself. And then it was time to go back to eating a one meal every day, one full meal every day, and then two meals would be these shakes. And I tried that, and I just could not go back to the shakes, and that was not enough. And I did what I could see now was a pattern of mine, which was I was off the diet. So I was eating the food that I was eating that I loved, that I relied upon, that was my best friend. And those are the foods that also, a lot of those foods made me gain weight quickly. And around the same time, I tried taking an over-the-counter diet pill. Some of you may remember it. It was a caffeine pill in a black capsule, so it was supposed, so it suggested amphetamines, and it was supposed to help you control your appetite. All it did was make me jittery and make me want to eat more. So I my life went on with this ever-going cycle of trying to be on a diet and not being on a diet. And it was a very, it was an ever tightening sort of cycle. After I'd binge on something, I would often go back and calculate how many calories of it I actually ate. And I would get very angry at myself when I would saw that when I would see that I had eaten more than a meal, a whole day's worth of calories with that one bag of whatever. And I was also would be in my head about, well, how much fat did I eat? Is my butt too large? Are my thighs too large? Are people going to be looking at me and thinking that I'm really fat? And that was going on in my head all the time. And I did get to be at my top weight, I got to be 300 pounds. And I discovered Overeaters Anonymous through a friend of mine. She was a woman I met at this place that did a partial hospitalization program. I have a mental illness and was in this partial hospitalization program for treatment for that. And she started bringing her lunch instead of eating the lunches that were provided for us. And I was shocked because over the weeks, she was losing weight, but she was eating a lot of food. And it looked like a lot of food. And I didn't understand how anybody could lose weight eating so much food. So I asked her about it, and she told me that she said quite directly, "I go to Overeaters Anonymous. Would you like to go?" And I said, "Yes, I would." A relative of mine had been in a 12-step program. So I thought I knew about them, but I really didn't, because when I got to this meeting with my friend, the 12 steps were posted on the wall. It was a face-to-face meeting. And there was that dreaded G word that I now use much more comfortably. And there were all sorts of actions that I didn't see what those actions had to do with losing weight. I rather expected something more like Weight Watchers. I had no idea that we, until I saw those steps and talked about it, that there is a deeper reason for my eating than my just liking certain foods. I was doing a lot of my overeating to comfort myself and or to celebrate when I was happy about something. If I felt a strong emotion, I had to go to the food about it. That time, I did not stay in Overeaters Anonymous very long, but I did return again about 7 years later. That would be about 2005. And I stayed in OA that time for 11 years. Practically, it was 10 years and 11 months when I left. I was really having trouble with the idea of a higher power, and just could it was just really hard for me to do step 10 and step 11 regularly, and because I was afraid of a higher power. And I didn't tell anybody about that at the time, because I don't like admitting that I have a weakness. I don't like admitting that I don't know things either. And so I didn't really talk about this much with anybody at various times. But then my pain got to the point where I had to start talking about it, and I did. And people were willing to help me, but I just became discouraged with the whole thing and left. I thought that, well, this God business isn't for me. Maybe I don't have the part in my brain that would let me have a higher, that ma makes it easier for people to have a higher power. And I'll just have to go on to the bitter end, like the big book says. And, then 4 years later, things were much worse. I was so obsessed with food. The food obsession was outrunning the obsession about my body and my size and the way I looked. And all I could think about was when I was going to eat, where I was going to eat, what I was going to eat, how much. If I got as much as I wanted, would people stare at me? It was really uncomfortable. So I came back to OA, and I came to this meeting, and that was when this meeting was a very small meeting, based in an intergroup in New Jersey. And I found a sponsor who I still have today, which is an absolute blessing, because the time I was in OA for 10 years and 11 months, I had nine sponsors. I changed sponsors an awful lot. It was usually me, but there were times when it was them saying, "I don't think you're ready." And But there were times when it was me saying, "Oh, I've broken my abstinence again. I'm sorry. I have to go find somebody else." And anyway, I have the sponsor today, and she helps me an awful lot, mostly with by example. She's living in the steps, and her and a group of people who I know through a WhatsApp group that I belong to and want to get active back in again, do step 10 on a regular basis, and we share our step 10s together. And that was really helpful for me when I was doing that. But I'm trying to finish up a 4-step inventory right now. And so I'm putting time into that more and a little less into doing the daily inventories. That stuff is going on the bigger inventory. And that will all be taken care of soon, very soon, in a 5th step with my sponsor. And that'll be the last part of my inventory for this time through the steps. And I'm really looking forward to it now. I used to dread these things. I've been through the steps 3 times this time in program, and each time has been better than the previous one. And it's turning out to be a really good way of life. My relationship with my husband was not good when I came back. I resented him immensely because I had to share food with him. And now we are back. We are back in good communicate. We're in good communication with each other. We love each other a lot. That didn't go away, but it got kind of buried. And he supports me in my program work. And I have sponsees who are wonderful women. I'm very happy and honored to be working with them. And I have friends galore. Bill Wilson is right when and he says somewhere in the Big Book about how you will find friends and a fellowship will spring up around you, which is a good which is something to feel a part of. And that's really happening to me in my life. I have seen this meeting grow from 15 people to 65, 64. And there's people here that I've been seeing almost every day for at least 4 years, if not 5 or 6 years. And you guys are some of the most wonderful people I've ever been around. I think that the 12 steps are a very wonderful program. I'm very grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous and Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob and all the other founders. I'm very grateful to Roseanne S. and AG, who are the founders of OA, for bringing this program to people like me. I'm going to go a tiny bit over. I just want to show you a couple pictures real quick. I've got them ready. You guys should be able to see this. One of the people you'll see in this picture is somebody from this meeting who came to visit me. That's Sally S. And that's me. She was driving home from a vacation to where she lives in Iowa, and I live in Kansas, and she stopped by to see me, and it was wonderful. And this was me about at my top weight, and the picture over here, the thin woman is me, and this is when I took a friend of mine to see Elton John, in 2022 in Houston. She lives near Houston, and the tickets were sold out in Kansas. And it was easier for me to go to Houston, and I wanted to take her because she'd never seen Elton in concert, and I had once before. And that's all I've got. I will stop sharing, and I will turn off the timer. Thank you for letting me share.